Welcome to the Business Success Network podcast with me, Stacey Calder, helping you to grow yourself and grow your business with tools, tips and techniques. And welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm really excited for this episode because today we have the wonderful Nathan Eaves with us. Welcome, Nathan.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm awesome, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Now, are you used to podcasts? Are you, you're such an expert in sales that the podcasts come into that, or is this a new thing for you?
I'm good at talking, but podcasts I'm new to, so this is going to be an experience for me.
Brilliant. I love that. And I know you're good at talking because I've seen many of your trainings and lots of your lives that you've been doing into different business groups that I'm in, and they're always fascinating. So I am sure the next 20 minutes or so are going to be full of juicy tips and treats for us all.
I'll go sparingly then.
Yeah, don't give too many secrets away. We normally start on our podcast with your story so far. So I've already kind of touched on the fact that you're a sales expert. How did you get to become that sales expert? What's your background?
That's an amazing question. Normally I get asked, so tell me about how you got to where you are. But now you're saying, how did I get to a sales expert? I don't see myself as an expert. I see myself as always developing. So if I'm an expert now, I'd hate to think what I'm going to be in a year's time to 10 years time.
That's a really good spin on it, actually, Nathan. I like that.
Thanks. I started sales. Actually, I did a presentation yesterday and I revealed that I started in the year 2000 in sales. So it's 20 years this year. I can't believe that. I cannot believe it. Obviously, I was a rookie back then. I wasn't trained. I was just let loose like a rookie salesperson, just let loose. From there, I went on a few sales training courses, bought a couple of books. Never read the books. I'm not a big reader. I knew people who did read them, and I'd ask them about it, what's in it, and what the best pages to read, what the best parts to read, and things like that, so that I could get the snippets out of it. But if I'm honest, it was more experience, learning to do it wrong. There's a snippet that I'm going to give you later about one thing that I've done to make sales easier. You know, my motto is making sales easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
How long it would take to get that in, to be honest. And I think we're on about four minutes, so we're good.
Well, for me, the big thing that stops people in sales is rejection. And rejection is a huge thing. Nobody wants to get rejected. Normally I get to everybody to do a task and to show that it's not personal. But for the podcast, I'll tell you how I discovered that. And that was actually my bathroom mirror. In fact, I'm going to take that bathroom mirror with me everywhere I go just to remember this part of my sales career. And I wrote on the mirror what was personal about rejection. So when somebody said no to me, and I couldn't put anything on the mirror. I couldn't actually put anything on the mirror that was personal. My hairstyle, it was my hairstyle, my clothes were my clothes. They weren't saying no to these things. They were saying no to what I was offering. So it was not actually personal. So rejection was a big thing. So then taking it personally was a big thing. So I was trying to understand how not to take it personally. So then when I discovered that, I then went into the whole, well, let's go and get rejected then. Because when you pick up the phone, the one thing that stops people picking up the phone is rejection. But do you know what they're going to reject? No, we'll find out. Pick up the phone and find out. And then it turned that whole anxiety of picking up a phone to sell from, I don't know where the conversation is going to go, to how are they going to reject me? How am I going to learn from this? And I'd write down every single phone call I did, what they were rejecting. And it was always things like price or timing, or they need to ask somebody, or objections left, right and center. But it was never anything personal. So I was writing them down. But little did I know that that actually trained me to understand what's coming, to set up then role play, to understand how to overcome these objections when somebody said, I haven't got time to talk to you. Oh, that's not a problem. I've had this problem before. Let's do it this way. And that's pretty much where my sales developed from. I went into sales and letting agencies. I went into snooker and sold snooker equipment. The big thing was cars, leasing cars out. Then I went into buying and selling businesses. I've always been in sales. So as long as I'm looking after the sales side, I'm happy.
And that's amazing, isn't it? Because I know as a mentor and as a coach, you kind of, you hear people and you speak to them and you say, you know, what's your biggest fear at the moment, or what's the biggest obstacle? And a lot of the time they say sales. And I'll be honest, it's not my most favorite part of my business. You know, the thought of cold calling someone. I've led teams where I've said, you know, why are you just not hitting the phones? And they would rather clean the toilet sometimes. You know, just that thing of putting it off and putting it off. And I think, God, I wouldn't want to do that either. So I get what you're saying about the overcoming objections, the feeling of rejection, definitely. People do take it personally, though, don't they?
Absolutely. This is where I should come in and say, let's retract back to what you said. Your clients are saying their problems is sales. I need to ask for those referrals right now, just to show everybody what sales is about. We'll have that conversation later. But no.
Always selling, Nathan.
That's the point. Actually, the one thing that I learned quite early on was if I didn't have enough in the pipeline, my anxieties would grow. And what I mean by that is if I, let's go into the car world, if I knew I was having 100 cars being delivered and I needed to lease them out and I only had 3 people in the pipeline for those cars, my anxiety levels would completely take over. So if I had 300 people in the pipeline for the 100 cars coming in, my anxiety levels were non-existent. So for me to not get that anxiety coming through, for me to understand that there's no need to worry, you've got to grow that pipeline, which means prospecting. And that means all the time, not just when business is bad or when business is quiet. That's all the time. That's every single moment of the day. And I don't mean that you've got to say, stop what you're doing right now to go prospecting, but find every opportunity to get somebody new into your pipeline, or nourish one of the contacts that you've got in your pipeline and nourish that relationship.
Fabulous. And I suppose that I've got to ask you the question therefore. So where do you fill up your pipeline? How do you go out and find your prospects?
Prospecting.
Yeah.
So prospecting comes in all shapes and sizes. You can go social, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, although Instagram is like the holy grail of motivation. Mm. You can get lost in it, and I get that. There's an app on most phones. I say most phones because some people have phones without an app. It's a free app, completely free. It comes with the phone when you purchase a phone or get it on contract. Completely free app, and I can guarantee it will make you more money than any other thing on this planet. And it's called the phone app, as in you use it as a phone. It's incredible. Honestly, picking up the phone and talking to people is...
People still use their phones for phoning people now.
I don't know. It's shocking. I get more texts and emails than I do phone calls. And that's where I get lost now, because I can ignore an email. I was told by a sales manager yonks ago, you can delete an email. Yeah. You can ignore a text message. You can put the phone down on somebody. But how do you get rid of a body? And it's true. It's finding ways to get in front of people and not be an idiot about it. I'm not saying that you should be full on sales all the time. I'm saying that you need to be present. And to do that, you need to get to know people. Prospecting isn't just about getting information from them. It's about curating a relationship with them. You can do that in all sorts of ways. If you want to put loads of comments and likes out there on social media and spend hours of your evening doing that, fine, that's up to you. You could do it in a different way, go networking, you could pick up the phone, you could, I don't know, I got a new client in Lincoln because I met them networking ages ago, and I was driving past and I thought, I've got a spare 10 minutes, I wonder what they're up to, and I popped into their office and said hello.
That's brilliant.
Became a client because you're present. It is
that thing of once you know that they're not rejecting you, and actually it is just that conversation, it's just having... it's just building that relationship until the time is right, really. A lot of people won't know this on the podcast, but I, for the last 10 years, I've been very much into a lot of personal development and network marketing, actually. And like I say, growing a team of lots of different types of people, one of the things that stands out is that fear of rejection. And once you can almost train their brain to the, you know, without using it sounding cliche, but the go for no kind of thing, it makes such a difference. They stop cleaning their toilets and they actually get on and do some work. So, it's fantastic.
You've always been in sales then.
There's no, I was going to say skeletons in your closet, but that sounds a bit wrong actually for a business, for a business podcast.
I set up a artisan bakery and restaurant.
Wow.
But that's still sales. I still had to get people in the door. I still had to make sure that the product was right for them. You know, when you're a kid and you have these dreams, this is what I want to do when I grow up.
So what was your dream then? What did you want to do?
I was told I wanted to be an architect. And what I mean by told was I love drawing and I love building. So everybody around me, school mentors, teachers and things, parents, everything, architecture is the way forward for you. Really bad that I'm not that great at maths, so doesn't really help. Don't get me wrong, went to university, studied architecture and came out with a degree in it, and I actively can use that degree as and when I want. So I'm building a house at the moment using the knowledge that I got from that. But growing up, I wanted to be a policeman until I realised that I didn't want to be a policeman. And then it was a case of, I like making things. I've always liked making things. I've always liked baking, and it would be pretty cool to own that bakery. But I never actually thought that would be a reality. You know, those pipe dreams that you think, in another life sort of thing. But I had the opportunity. The guy over the road from where I was living said, he's got a bakery, it's not making any money. Is it something that you're interested in selling? I was like, yeah, I am. So I went in to sell. And he said, I'm shutting the doors, I'm mothballing the business. I'm like, don't do that. It can't be that difficult.
And then the rest is history. So again, even that story is still very much based on sales. And I can see where you've got such a passion for it now. What, I mean, you've got far more clients in the sales sort of sector than I have. What's the one thing, apart from that fear of rejection then, what's the obstacle that you come up against most?
Domination. Domination is a big thing. And what I mean by domination is the persistency factor in sales. People think that they shouldn't, or businesses think that they shouldn't pester. And I get that they shouldn't, because that's annoying. I don't want to be pestered. But I can guarantee you, I'm not going to buy from you unless you ask me. And the problem with that is, if I'm not being asked, I'm not buying. So you need to do some sort of what would be classed as pestering. I call it following up. Mm-hmm. Because you've just got to be present. It's
that
phoning
makes
them up.
It sound a lot better than pestering, by the way.
Personally, I don't see it as pestering. If you honestly, and this is where you've got to cut that line, if it's an honesty thing that you think you can help the person that you're talking to, then call them, go and see them, send them an email, send them a text message, follow them on Instagram, follow them on social media, and be present in their life and ask them to, so that you can help them. They don't owe you anything, so don't expect them to owe you anything. However, they can't buy unless they know what you can do to help. So I'm not saying pester, never pester, but you've got to know that they've got to know about you. The only way you can do that is to be present. So follow up, follow up, follow up. Even if that's just a catch up, it's just a case of, I know you're not ready to talk to me about this yet, but is it something that you're thinking of in the next 3 to 4 months? Okay, cool, I'll call you then. Always looking for that most wanted action, that next step. For me, with my clients, I'm always getting them to tell me what their next action they want their people to, their prospects to be taking. So their pipeline, every single person in that pipeline has on a spreadsheet would have a column next to them with what their next most wanted action is. And they are following up with that. That's the next action they want to happen. How do you do that? This is how you do it. And it's a process then.
You make it sound so simple. Right, well, we're going to leave part one there, and then we'll be back in part two, where you are going to tell us about your plans for the future and your successes so far. Thank you. If you've enjoyed our podcast today, come over and find us on Facebook. Join our free Facebook group, Business Success Network. So we're back with Nathan for part two, where he is discussing his business successes so far and what's happening in the future.
So the future's a fantastic one. So just before we do go into that, I'm just going to go on something that I really, really want everybody or business owners to understand. And that is, if you draw a self-portrait on a piece of paper and you put an arrow to the left and an arrow to the right, you never know where the right's going, and that's forwards. You never know where that's going to actually end up because you don't know the destination. You can't put it in a sat nav and follow that route, and that route be not full of potholes or road closures or anything like that. However, if you put a name underneath that stick figure self-portrait that you've made, that name needs to be somebody that's successful in your eyes as the business owner. So I'm going to take, for example, here, Steve Jobs, because that's an easy one to look at. The future, you can't really look at, unfortunately, but you can look backwards. Now, we know who Steve Jobs is because of Apple. He's put a device on in my hand that has allowed me to make money. I am so grateful for that. He was told, actually, just to go on a little bit of an off spin, to leave the phone alone. He was told by all of the people around him at the time to not touch a mobile phone because he wanted to merge what the iPod did and what the phone did and more. And he was told to leave it alone, and he didn't. And I'm so grateful for him for that. But going back through his life from where we see his success, you can trace the whole path that he took to get to where he was. And you can do that with any successful person that you see as successful. That is the path to success. That line that you trace is the path to success. And I can guarantee on that path, if you follow it from the beginning to where they are successful, they have gone through defeat. They have gone through excruciating pain. They've gone through complete anxiety and meltdowns and problems and issues. And they have got to success by following that path. So when people say they don't know how to get successful, it's a load of crap because you can trace these lines and you can see that people can get through all these obstacles to become successful. So what's my future? I can only see pain. I can only see problems. I can only see issues that need to be overcome. My goals.
I'm going to listen to this podcast, so I'm not sure she's going to. Or she's going to be thinking, rubbing her hands together, going, wait.
My goals are quite big at the moment. I'm trying to help small business owners understand sales so that they can allow that sales hat to fit properly. A lot of small business owners go into business because they're amazing at what they do. Doesn't mean to say they can do everything a business owner should be doing. Sales is one of those things. I'm not going to come in and help you with your accounts because I honestly wouldn't do very well.
On one of the previous podcasts, we had Kellyanne Grimes, who is she's my VA expert actually, and she was talking about when a person goes self-employed, there are 64 different roles that they would need to carry out in the, whether it's social media management, marketing, sales, like you say, 64 different roles. That is crazy. Most of us just want to
Absolutely.
do, like you say, that one thing that we're good at. And sales, you're brilliant at that. That is your business, but like you say, social media or something else, it might not be your bag, your cup of tea. So
That's actually really good to know. If you're helping people with those 64 things, that's absolutely gold dust. Because if you do a SWOT analysis properly, you're going by your strengths, you're going by your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. And if that you can put those 64 things onto that SWOT analysis, that is going to help any business owner dominate their marketplace. Just to let the listeners know, if sales is on their threat or their weakness, give me a call. That's my sales pin just there. But what I mean by that more than anything is when I went into business for myself, I learned a lot. And actually now I'm not a business owner because of it. I look at life a little bit differently. I am a salesperson. A gun for hire is what people to call me because I'm good at the sales side. I'm not very good at the admin side. I'm not very good at the organizational side. I'm not very good at the legal side, the account side, the bits of the business that make it go round, that go on in the background by professionals. And it should be done by professionals. I'm good at the sales side.
So if I was to say to you then, actually, Nathan, what I'm looking for is somebody to come in and sell the magazine, sell the articles, sell the advertising, all that kind of thing. That's what you love. That's where you get in. And
when do I start?
Like, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. We'll have a chat after.
Absolutely. But that's what it is. One thing that I am very clear on as a sales trainer is I want to be in the sales game, because I don't want to help people sell and say it works if I don't know that for fact, because I'm doing it myself. I want to be with them doing it. I want to be helping them do it, rather than saying, I've been there, done that. Here's the t-shirt. I hope it fits, because I'm not that sort of person.
And I suppose it's like any industry, isn't it? Things change, different techniques come in, you know, like you say, different tools change. So actually for you to be, you know, on the ground, as they say, is really beneficial.
They say, and this is how I set my business up when I set it up. As I said, I'm not the business owner of it anymore, but when I set it up, I did a bit of research into the World War II. I had a little bit of a blast from the past type thing. And do you know how many generals died in World War II?
No idea.
One.
Okay.
And that was not on the field.
Right.
The problem with that is they were telling everybody else how to do it. And they were sending them off to do things, to combat the war, to be on the front lines and all the other lines out there. They weren't actually in it. They were making decisions from the background. How can you make a decision from the background if you don't know what's happening at the front? Especially when you haven't got the technology that you've got today to be in the know instantly. I mean, can you imagine World War II now with, well, it would be World War III, wouldn't it? With social media going on, you'd know everything at every moment in time.
It's quite a scary thought, actually. You know, we can look back, like you say, and you think, you know, that great big war that happened, and actually they didn't have a lot of technology. And it's, you know, nowadays you just think, wow, there's so much more to go on. I didn't realize we were going to get a history lesson with sales.
Sorry.
I love it. So many nuggets. It's brilliant. And we're not even on to the three top tips yet. So, so what are your plans for the future then, Nathan?
My plans for the future is to help small business owners understand sales better, so that they can then either employ their own sales staff or manage their own sales force. The reason I say that is a lot of businesses that I've been into since training is they have sales teams that sell to the business owner on what's working and what's not. And that's a skill set deficit, I'd say, rather than a marketplace problem. The salespeople are good at selling to the business owner, not selling to the prospects. So if the business owner themselves understand the basics of sales, as I say, I try and make it easy peasy lemon squeezy by putting processes in place that work for them, so that then they can work with their sales team to make that process work for them. Excuse me. That's my big aim. Monetary, I'm after 5 million in 5 years. The reason for that is my actual target is 3 million. If I go for 3 million, then I might fall short and I'm not going to be happy. So if I aim for 5 and I hit 3, I'm going to be ecstatic. And that there are reasons for that I'm not going to go on to until I get the money and I put it out there and everybody can see why I've done it. But it's basically...
That sounds like we've got to get you back then in the next few years to see how it's going and what actually you are going to let us know.
Well, it's basically giving back to people that have helped me in the past, communities that need support, things like that. I don't want money for me. I want money to share. Money to me is power. I'm not after the power. I'm after what it can give other people and how it can give it to them. Obviously, I need to break even on my lifestyle. I'm not saying that I don't want money at all. That's why we're in business at the end of the day. But yeah, the goals, I'm building a house at the moment. I want to go on holidays a lot more, just like everybody else. I've got one daughter.
How old is your daughter?
She's almost two.
Oh, I bet she rules the roost.
She's a salesperson.
She's, yeah.
Her mum's an accountant, so she's a very, very thorough salesperson.
That's a great skill set to have though, isn't it? Sales and accounts.
Absolutely.
And I bet Daddy gets those battered eyelids and gets taken for every penny that he earns.
And some.
Yeah. Brilliant. So then, we've had that's some great plans for the future and some real golden nuggets there. We're going to come back in part three with your three top tips for business owners and decision makers, really, because like you say, it's not all small businesses that listen to this podcast. There will be decision makers within the businesses as well. So we're going to come back with your three top tips, if you can keep it to three, because you've already shared so many.
Hey, my name's Nathan from The Art of Selling Limited. I'm on a mission, actually, to make sales easy peasy, lemon squeezy for small business owners so that they get to know how the sales hat can fit and fit well. I've already told you about the tip that I normally go into, but there's a free app on your phone that you can use right now to get more sales right now, and it's called the Phoner app. If you need any more advice or tips, or you want support in your sales career going forward, then give me a call on 0333 444 9906, or send me an email, or go onto my website. It's artofselling.co.uk. My name's Nathan, so it's Nathan at artofselling.co.uk. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want. Come and join the love of sales, and I love sales that much. If I just shake your hand, I'll pass on some of that passion to you.
Part of our podcast today then with Nathan, and he's going to share with us his three top tips for business owners. Now I have a feeling these are going to be sales-based business tips, but I wouldn't expect anything less. And I'm wondering, can you make sales easy peasy lemon squeezy in just three tips, Nathan?
Ooh, I like it. Now I need to change my tips.
no, if they're not sales, that's perfectly fine. It's good, it shows that we're doing this spur of the moment, so to speak.
Spur of the moment. I suppose my first tip that I learned, when did I first learn? I figured it out after I got married, but it goes back to before I was married. Work is not a job. It's a career. It is a career. Every bit of work is a career. And what I mean by that is, a relationship takes work. I'm not saying it takes a lot of work. I'm not saying that you need to actively work on your relationship all the time, but it takes work. And to me, that's a career. So I should have been in my other office to show you the my board of duties. People call them jobs. So you look at my relationship, my wife. We have goals, we have ambitions, and we have that set out like a career. You get into it. I had to audition for it. She wouldn't just marry me. It's true though, isn't it? I had to go for the interview.
I need to meet your wife, to be honest.
Yeah, let's all get together. But yeah, it's one of those things where we're going in a direction and we need to be aligned with that. We need to make sure that we've got the goals in place to achieve what we want to achieve, and that we are both in sync as partners to get to where we want to go. You could look at that as a mini business. It doesn't have to make money. It has to make us happy. And that's the outcome of the business. That takes work, which is a career. So I look at my home life as a career. I look at my hobbies as a career. I love cars, in case anybody hasn't picked that up yet from this. I haven't spoken much about cars, so they might not. But if I'm working on cars, I don't see changing one part as that job, as a bit of work. I see it as a career because I'm doing that for a reason. I'm doing it to either increase the cost, the value of the car, to increase the performance of the car, or to increase my emotional attachment to the car. So it's a career. It's you're looking at it, you're putting a goal in place, you're looking at it not just as one individual job, but as a succession of jobs that make it more valuable. So let's go into sales training just as the third option there. That's a career. It's not just a job. I can't just walk into a room and teach people how to sell. I have to get the right people in the room. I have to make sure that they want to learn how to sell. I need to make sure that they understand how selling works as a principle of turning a business round, as in bringing in money, so that they can use that for running the business and obviously whatever else they need to do with their money. But everything that you look at is a career. So my first big tip would be that there's not one job out there that's work. It's all a career move. Everything's a career move. That's not to say that you have to be in that career for the rest of your life. You don't have to be in that career for the rest of your life. You can sell that career and start a new one or buy a new one. It's up to you. But my first top tip would be that don't ever look at work as a job. Look at it as a career. How's it going to develop you? How's it going to push you forward professionally or even personally?
Brilliant. I love that. So have a career and not go to work. Brilliant. Top tip number two.
Top tip number two. Do you know the ABCs of selling?
I feel like you're going to test me. Don't put me on the spot.
Alec Baldwin, it's a well-known film, but the film's not actually that well-known, sorry. It's a well-known phrase back in the 80s in the sales world and out of the sales world, but it was always be closing.
Nice, okay.
The ABCs of selling has always been always be closing. And although the 80s was a very fun time to be in, it needs to stay back there. Because that is where the persistency comes in, the pushing, the bad name of sales comes in. ABCs of selling,
type, isn't it? I suppose as well.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you shouldn't be closing. By the way, you should be. Sales isn't sales unless you close. So really, don't get into sales unless you know how to close. So there's another nugget: learn how to close, then go into sales, because that. If you can't close, it's not worth it. People who watch Suits, they know that Harvey Specter is the number one closer on the planet. He's not the number one salesperson on the planet. He's the number one closer. He gets things done. Steve Jobs, bring him back into it. He was a closer. He closed people on his ideas. He didn't sell people on his ideas. He sold people. He closed them on his ideas. So if you want to get into sales, learn how to close. That's the biggest tip out there. But that's not one of my tips.
you wouldn't stick to three.
There you go, that was number three. No, but number two, the ABCs of selling, as an updated version, I got from a coach a couple of years ago, and I've used that since, and that's attract, bond, and call.
I like that much better.
That's the new wave of sales, and the coach Johnny is good at that. Very good at that, and I can't thank him enough for that. And I would say that is one of my biggest top tips in business: is leave the sales hat where it was in the 80s. In the 80s, but ABCs of selling now is attract, bond, and call.
Brilliant, love it. So your final tip, how many are you going to throw in with this one? Because you know, I'm not even sure we're on three anymore. I think we're on about seven or eight now. But let's go with your final tip then.
My final tip, I'm going to say it's not my problem.
Yeah.
The reason I'm going to say that is because I used to drive an MX-5 before I had my daughter. My wife told me I had to get a four-seater car. So I used to drive an MX-5 because I love small cars. I'm a two-seater sport car fanatic. Not a race, just I like less power just to have a bit of fun in it. Anyway, cars aside, there's a parcel shelf on the back of the MX-5 where the roof sits when the roof's down. And my problems used to sit on that parcel shelf. Every time I went to see a client, that's where I put my client. That's where I put my problems. Because if I tell you a problem, let's do an actual example. Stacey, please, can you tell me one problem that you are facing at the moment that, not that I can help you with, I'm not here to help you today, I'd love to though, just give me a problem that's real right now, that could be personal, it could be business, whatever that is.
Talk about putting me on the spot. Lack of sleep due to children.
I've got a daughter, and she doesn't sleep through the night. And what I found was, do you actually care right now?
What, that you've got?
No. No, what I mean by that is you've told me a problem, and as a salesperson, I've then gone on to me.
Yeah.
And that's what I see all the time. What I've done is I've picked my problem up and I'm delivering it back to you because you've got the same problem. that's not going to sell anything. That's not going to introduce or welcome you to want to do business with me. So you've got to put the individual's problems aside. I'm really sorry that you're struggling with sleep at the moment. Absolutely. In fact, I know somebody that could help you out. Is it okay if I send you a link about it? That works so much better, because I'm saying I can support you if you want it. And it might not even be me. It might be somebody else.
Yeah.
But that connection goes a lot further than me telling you my problems. I'm taking you down a rabbit hole of my problems and how I overcame my problem. I still haven't overcome the problem, by the way. But what I mean by it is, instead of taking people on that journey down the rabbit hole, don't. Shelve your problems. And that problem could be the fact that you haven't got much in the pipeline for sales. So you're panicking, you need to sell to them. So you're then going to be like, I can help you, I can help you, I can help you. This is how I solve that problem. That doesn't actually sell. That actually, what's the opposite of selling? Losing.
Losing, selling.
So the third tip would be, it's not my problem.
It's not my problem. I really like that. That's great. Like I said, that was three top tips from Nathan. I'm pretty sure there was about seven in there, though. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you today. Sales is one of those things that, like you say, people can kind of curl up and hide over. They the thought of it gives them shivers down their spine. We hit a bit about stereotypes and leaving them in the 80s. I get that, because when you think of salesman, that, you know, the Del Boy type 80s car salesman. You talked about cars. I suppose the last question I'm going to ask you really quickly, because we are running out of time, what is the favorite car then?
My favorite MX5 through and through. Mark 1 pop-up lights, 1.8, not the 1.6, but it needs a few tweaks. I'd recommend a few tweaks, but that's the favorite car.
I feel like we've got the future presenter of I was going to say a car show, but I probably shouldn't, because there are other car shows available on all sorts of different stations. So Nathan, thank you very much for your time today. One last thing to do: hit us with your 30-second sales pitch, where people can find you and what you can do for them.
Okay, thank you. Hey, my name's Nathan from The Art of Selling Limited. I'm on a mission, actually, to make sales easy peasy, lemon squeezy for small business owners, so that they get to know how the sales hat can fit and fit well. I've already told you about the tip that I normally go into, but there's a free app on your phone that you can use right now to get more sales right now, and it's called the Phoner app. If you need any more advice or tips, or you want support in your sales career going forward, then give me a call on 0333 344 9906, or send me an email, or go onto my website. It's artofselling.co.uk. My name's Nathan, so it's Nathan at artofselling.co.uk. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want. Come and join the love of sales, and I love sales that much. If I just shake your hand, I'll pass on some of that passion to you.
That's brilliant. Thanks ever so much, Nathan. I will speak to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please leave us a review. And until next time, I'll see you soon.